Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Good afternoon to you, friends. This is Brad Zockel. You are listening to a shortened version of the Questions About Heaven podcast. I want to poke something in here that I feel is very, very important, and I don't really have too much time. I'm actually heading out on the road in just a handful of minutes here to go to Walhalla, South Carolina, one of my monthly Bible study meetings, and the wonderful people at Liberty Baptist make this possible for me to be able to go and enjoy teaching just a wonderful group of people from the Walhalla, South Carolina area over at a coffee shop called Mountain Mocha. If you're in the Walhalla area, every fourth Thursday of the month at 5 o'clock, we gather together over in this wonderful location, Mountain Mocha, on the main street of the town, and we have a Bible study, including Q&A. So it's a very, very powerful time. So I'm going to go through real fast something that I want to share with you, and I'll have time for announcements later on in tomorrow's podcast. But there is something very, very important I want to share with you. When I talk with, there are so many people that have either had lost a loved one or are maybe even facing eternity on their own, believers, or just somebody has a question, a young person has a question, and there's anxiety in their voice. But what about this? And how come we don't know all the details about this? Or, you know, why didn't we get answers about this? Or what is God up to in this area? Will I be able to hug him? Can I walk with him? Will he be around? Does he care? You know, what about animals in heaven and seeing my friends and looking down on earth if somebody passes away right now? And all of these different things, we will find out so many times there are people that become openly agitated, but I just don't know what's going to happen when I leave this life. Justified. I mean, you can say this, you know. I remember, and I was sharing this in an earlier class, that my first time of going to Israel, they were asking me to intern to learn how to be a tour guide through Israel. And the very first time, I indeed did take academy and college students. And it was my first time, and there was trepidation. I mean, not being over there. And what's it going to be like? And we're going to be in the Middle East, and we've heard so many things here and there. But you know something? All that trepidation melted away when we went through all the customs and we went through all of the checkpoints, everything, and we got there. And we said, we're here in the Holy Land. And oh, the wonders of going to Bethlehem and the Sea of Galilee and over to Joppa and Jerusalem, in through Jerusalem, these many wonderful places. And it was kind of like, wow, it was worth it. It really wasn't as scary as I thought. Well, that's the same way when we are talking about these joys of heaven in Revelation 21 and 22. You say, but it's not like I've ever crossed from this life. It's not like I've stepped into death. This is a new thing for me. Granted, that's true. But what can we look at as a foundational truth when we're talking about going into God's presence, going into eternity, either in the present heaven or then at the grand renovation of 2 Peter chapter 3, when everything is going to be changed completely and presented as, Revelation 21:1, the new heavens surrounding the new earth. I mean, you know, there's just some things here. What if this goes wrong, or that is not enough, or I get lonely? Okay, so let's start with this. What does the Bible say would be some good principles to follow on this? Let's start with this. Romans 9:33, he who believes in him will not be disappointed. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. So let's start off with this. This word for believe is not just talking about mental assent, just thinking this, well, okay, I'm all right with it. No, no. This word for believe is pistis, and this is a powerful word. It means to put trust in, to completely rely upon. In here, he who puts full trust in the Lord, he who puts full trust in him will not be disappointed. Now, we have a very powerful word here in this word disappointed. Romans 9:33 tells us that this word, we break it into two different words here. This is a compound word because it's so fraught with meaning that the English really can't hold it to just one description here. And when we see this word, oh, I just absolutely love this word. It's translated in a different translations, different ways. But when we take a look at it, I love this word because this one will give you a very powerful understanding. This is kataiskuno, and it's broken down. And the best way I can tell you this is it's with the two words broken down, it means to take down in shame. That's the best way I can tell you. It's almost a picture word, to bow your head in shame. It is a very, very powerful word that is used throughout the scripture. And I'll give you an idea. If you go over, the very same word is used in Luke chapter 13 and verse 7 when Jesus was confronting the enemies. And one translation puts it this way, and he said these things, and as he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame. But another translation says, all of his enemies were humiliated. So we go back here, and let me repeat Romans 9:33. He who puts full trust in him will not be humiliated. We are not going to go into the afterlife and look around and say, what in the world? This is nothing what was promised in the scriptures. You are fearful. You are humiliated. Will you be humiliated? I gave my life over to Jesus. And what happened? Well, we're talking about the God who cannot lie. This is what Titus 1:2 says. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. And when we see these promises, we're looking at this. You're not going to be put to shame. You will not be humiliated. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11 repeats this. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Have you ever gone to an event, a party, a gathering, a proposed a situation, or maybe a promised situation? Maybe it was with a job, a promotion, or things like that, and you were severely disappointed. You paid for something, you showed up, oh, it was a disappointment. You were promised this, you stepped into there anticipating, you were disappointed. Whoever puts you, I put full trust in you, and you let me down. Has that ever happened on your job? I know it's happened on mine. And you were promised things, and then you go in there, and it's nowhere near what it was promised. Many of us have gone through those things, and it's a very, very sad time when that happens. I can recall as a single young man going into a ministry out of state, traveling across the country. And in the interview on the East Coast, I was promised, you'll have an office, you will do this, this will be your studies in here in presentation in your ministry, you will have a desk, you will have file cabinets. And when I went there and arrived, there was absolutely none of the promises. Now, this is back in the 80s. I was a single young man, and I was being taken advantage of. And when I confronted the leadership and I said, well, now this was promised. As a matter of fact, I was under selection of other jobs, but based upon a number of promises here, and none of these have come through. And the answer was, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go back home. It was a very sad. So I didn't stay in that ministry very long because I said, I cannot trust you. I'm disappointed. And in a sense, when I called back to tell my family about it, and I was very, very much ashamed in this. Well, this isn't what I had just so been excited about too. But God's not going to do that. We're talking about more than just a career change. We're talking more than just a job. We're talking more than just moving into a home and finding out it's not. We're talking about eternal life. Whoever believes in him, Romans 10:11, will not be disappointed. Psalm 22 and verse 5, you, Lord, they trusted, and they were not disappointed. In the Hebrew, we have as strong a word putting there. You're not put to shame. Psalm 34 and verse 5, listen to this. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Isn't that something else? You see fulfilled promises on the faces of children, or promised parties, or promotions, or honors. And when the promise comes through, oh, what a joy that happens. And their faces are radiant, aren't they? Not covered with shame. This is the promise of the Lord. Isaiah 54 and verse 5, don't be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Isn't it something we can find the negative and find a positive? You're not going to be put to shame. You will not be disappointed. You will not be humiliated. I think of the positives that come out of the negative approach in Revelation 21 and verse 4. What's in heaven? Well, there's not going to be, or on the new earth, I mean, in the eternal state, what will there not be? Well, there's no more death. You will not die. You will not feel pain. You will not cry. You will not have depression. Don't you see such a powerful response on what we will enjoy when we see what we will not have to endure? And one of the first lines that I tell people here, the first steps of reality of our joy in heaven is, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to be humiliated. Romans 9:33, Romans 10:11, Psalm 22 and verse 5, Psalm 34 and verse 5, their faces are never covered with shame. Isaiah 54 and verse 5, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. And now we then step into the likes of 1 Corinthians 2:9. And we take a look at the wonderful promise there. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart, meaning the imagination of man, the things that God has promised to those who loved him. The next verse says, the Spirit can reveal these things to us. We get handfuls of heaven here and there, but we can go back and say, well, it's beyond our imagination. Well, then what else can we say? Well, Psalm 16:11, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. Psalm 17:15. When I see your likeness, I will be satisfied. I think that that is satisfactory for me to see these verses without even going into detail. This is going to be good enough. To be in his presence, to see his likeness, oh, wonderful promises. Thank you so much for hearing this tidbit of a podcast here. This is the Questions About Heaven podcast. God bless you. I'm getting ready to go out on the Bible study. Take care, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.